Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord that you are able to join me today. Well, I'm excited and been stirred by the subject the Lord has placed on my heart, which is seek divine pleasure. And as I laid a foundation or sort of a groundwork on yesterday's broadcast, I'll just do a slight review that I shared that godly pleasure demonstrated by a joy-filled Christian, I believe, is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, tools of evangelism that we can utilize in our Christian experience. People are drawn to happy people. Haven't you noticed that? I mean, when someone has a sour expression or they look angry, don't you just naturally and instinctively want to get away from them, avoid them? But if someone has a pleasant, smiling face, why, you're drawn to them. You're not put off. You actually want to know what's making them happy or if they're laughing. We're drawn to this because why? God's created us that way. And in the beginning, in the garden, there must have been much joy and laughter and sweet fellowship, just as there is in heaven. We may not be able to experience it to that dimension here in this earth, but in the spirit, in our hearts, knowing even though there's wickedness around us and we're living in perilous times, we know the things that are truly real. Our faith lays hold of eternal realities. And so this desire to seek pleasure, you know, we're made in the image of God, isn't that right? And I believe that it's a very strong motivating force in our nature to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. Now, pleasure, by definition, is a state of gratification, a source of delight or joy. And since we are made in the very image and likeness of the Lord, then don't you suppose the Lord also has this capacity? He certainly can show anger. He can show a pleasure. And I felt it would be important, and it would be very enlightening and informative to go into the Word and find out what are the things that please God. What are God's pleasures? If we were sitting face to face, and I'd ask you, brother, sister, what are the things you enjoy? What brings pleasure and joy into your life? I'm sure you would probably be able to name a number of things. And of course, in a spiritual dimension, the greatest desire we should have, I believe, is to please the Lord. And so let's find out from the scripture we just got started yesterday on what does the Word say that God's pleasures are. Well, first of all, according to Revelation 4:11, His creation. Remember, going back to Genesis, He created all things, and He said it was good. Everything He created, He looked upon it. And as He made man, He said he was very good. God was pleased with what He created. Out of the ages of eternity, before the worlds were, in the divine mind and heart of God, He imagined perfection and He spoke it into existence. So He takes pleasure in that, just as if you were an artist or in doing oils or watercolors, or if you were a writer, a poet, you do take pleasure in that which you created, do you not? Or if, you know, you might like to work in crafts or a man in carpentry, there's a great pleasure in doing the things that you enjoy. Like, or if you like sewing, you just take pleasure in that which you create. Well, so it's true with God. And of course, there's, I believe, a lot of creative activities that are going to be going on and are going on in heaven. Also, another one of God's pleasures, because of His very nature and character, is righteousness or uprightness, if you will. Psalm 5 and 4, let me give you an example. The word says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." So I'm just, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum. If he doesn't have pleasure in wickedness, he has pleasure in uprightness. And this is very specific. This next scripture I share with you, David is speaking in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness." Another thing, well, if you read the book of Proverbs, those of you, you seem partners, if you're reading through the Bible with me, Bible reading calendars I send out. If you read the book of Proverbs, we go through that 12 times a year. Proverbs 5 and 4, God takes pleasure in wisdom. Proverbs 5 and 4 says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed." And then in Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 17, and this is, of course, referencing wisdom, and it speaks of wisdom, and I've heard other preachers have said you can put the name of Jesus in the place of wisdom. "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." Isn't that a wonderful scripture? I love that. "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." So if you want peace in your life, if you want pleasant paths, then seek after wisdom. And it goes on to say, "She is a tree of life," referring to wisdom, "to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her." And verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth." Praise God. So God takes pleasure in his creation, in uprightness or righteousness. He takes pleasure in wisdom because those are his ways. That is the way of the Lord. As for God, his way is perfect. And then a final scripture I'd like to share with you regarding what God's pleasures are is found in Psalm 149 and 4. He takes pleasure in his people. There, that scripture reference says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So those are four areas that scripture outlines. God takes pleasure in his creation, in uprightness, in wisdom, and in his people. Now, there are eight other things I want to share with you that God takes pleasure in, but there's another different focus we have to realize as we look at the scriptures I'm going to be sharing with you, because the rest involves our participation. In other words, it involves our will, it involves our desire, it involves our decision that if we choose, we can bring pleasure to the Almighty. And some of you say, "Well, go on, Sister Glass, what are they? I can't wait." Well, before I do that, I'd like to share that there's a beautiful psalm. Let me turn to it quickly. It's Psalm 8. And remember, he takes pleasure in his people. And David was thinking about God. He said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." And he goes on and he sees, he must have been a shepherd boy as he sat out there looking at the starry firmament in the evenings. And he said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Hallelujah. Praise God. O Lord, our Lord, that psalm ends, "How excellent is thy name in all the earth." And so as we realize this amazing position we've been given as the children of God, mankind has been not only made in God's image and likeness, but he has given us authority and dominion over all the earth. And we as God's people now, we gave up through sin, we just delivered all that authority and power into the devil's hand. But thank God for Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's the gospel message. Jesus came and not only redeemed us back back to man, or back to God, restored man to fellowship with the Lord and communion, but also he wrested the power. He spoiled principalities and powers, praise God. He took the devil's victory and took it back from him. And he destroyed his strategies against mankind. Whomsoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. And he triumphed over them openly. He has the keys of death and of hell. And Jesus did a complete victory for us so that we are being restored as the body of Christ. We have that same delegated authority that God gave to his disciples. God never changes. I know there's some preachers to say, well, you know, that was just for the time of the apostles. We don't have that today. Well, beloved, I don't believe God changes. The Word says that, and His Word doesn't change. And these signs shall follow all them that believe, praise God. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They shall cast out demons. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. This is what, you know, I once sat with a Nazarene pastor, and he tried to explain to me how that latter portion found in Mark, where I was quoting, paraphrasing from, not quoting, but paraphrasing, that, you know, it really wasn't in the original translation. Well, if you actually take those disputed verses out, there's no way that any writer would end a letter like that. God, I mean, and also it coincides, those truths coincide with the rest of the Gospels, the message that Jesus gave to His disciples, that all of us go and make disciples of all men, of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you until the end of the age. Well, so what are, just to summarize it, God's pleasures are His creation. He takes pleasure in uprightness and wisdom and pleasure in His people. Well, I'm still laying foundation. We didn't actually get to the things that involve our will, our decision, what we can do, but we'll be seeing that on tomorrow's broadcast if you are able to be with me. And if any time you're not, please feel free to go to unveilchrist.org and you can listen to the podcast. They're archived well over a year, so any, you know, time you want to listen, they're there for your convenience. Praise God if you have internet. Well, it's been a joy to minister to you today. I do thank you, prayer partners, for your prayer support. If it wasn't for that, we couldn't carry on. And I bless God and honor God and thank God for the faithfulness of my UCM family and also for financial support. I mean, it's to me a wonder, a source of wonder and amazement how wonderfully He supplies. And if God's moving on your heart, He's got a reason. Please obey Him, either to write and or give an offering. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.